Hey everyone, welcome to Buzzing About Romance. I am Becky, and this episode of Buzzing About Romance is brought to you by Melanie Moreland's Men of the Falls series. Dive into the thrilling world of Men of the Falls, where power, danger, and desire intertwine in Aldo Ricci and Roman Costa stories. Experience Aldo's allure and Roman's complexities as they confront their deepest desires with captivating heroines. These steamy tales, available in ebook with your Kindle Unlimited subscription, paperback, and audiobook format, promise an edge of your seat experience. Are you ready to explore this seductive world? Joining me for this episode is Heather. Hi, Heather.
Hello.
And Amanda. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, everybody.
So everybody survived their weekend. I know Heather and I both went to book signings, but not the same one.
Nope. I survived. Iowa is such, it's such an underrated signing. And unfortunately this was the last year of it. It is so amazing. It's small. I feel like pretty laid back. I love it. It's one of my favorites.
I'm really jealous. I would have liked to have been able to go to that one. You had Molly McLean there and Melanie Moreland.
Willow Astor, Gia Stevens, R.L. Kenderson. I'm trying to remember who else I saw. And Jennifer Hartman is there. Harlow Ray. There, nice. Yes. We were first in line for Jennifer Hartman. I mean, we could not get to her in Denver because it was like hours and hours and hours. We were just chatting with her. It was great.
How lovely. Well, I went with Leah and Jenny and Carrie to the Columbus signing, the Beyond the Reader event. And it was great. We saw Susan Stoker. We saw Riley Edwards. We saw Amy Award was there. And oh my God, you guys, 20 minutes. We sat there and kept saying the word cock and wiener. Like every way possible.
She is so genuine. Yeah. Like what you see is what you get. And she is so kind. I really love her.
She's really funny, super nerdy, because yesterday was May the 4th. And so Jenny didn't have a bookish t-shirt on. Jenny had a May the 4th Star Wars t-shirt on. And they were like going back and forth. It was so funny.
It is a very nerdy day.
It is a very nerdy day. But Amanda spent the weekend home cleaning and realizing she owns too many books.
Yes. Yes, I did.
That's true.
I have too much stuff and I just have more coming. So.
And we are not done with signing season yet.
No, we are not.
As I'm doing my pre-orders for Knockout, I'm like, how many books is too many?
Well, Justin's making you drive, so.
Well, I don't know. Yes. I mean, he's more concerned about getting the bourbon home versus my books. He's like, books, I don't care. I was like, well, I kind of do.
Bourbon is important. Bourbon is very important.
Bourbon is very important. Wow. I can respect that. So this episode, we're going to do our term of the week. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago. We have some topics, some tropes that people would really like us to do episodes on. But at the end of the day, when we get down to the nitty gritty, we don't feel that we read enough variety within these tropes or within this subgenre to do a really good, informative episode for you guys. So until we get to the point, and we're all trying to, you know, read a little bit more of these different tropes to help build up our backlist and our shelves. But until we get to that point, we're taking those tropes or terms that people have really asked us for, and we're kind of defining them right now in our term of the week segment. So this week, our term of the week is enemies to lovers, which is not a favorite trope for me.
Me either.
I don't mind it, but I don't know that I read like true enemies to lovers, you know, unless maybe it's in sometimes in fantasy.
Right. So when we think enemies to lovers, I think the clearest piece for everybody to remember is for it to be enemies to lovers, there 1,000% needs to be history. They can't just be enemies because yesterday they she cut him off in traffic. That's not enough of a history. That's going to be adversaries. And so we'll talk about that next week, the difference. So enemies to lovers, the romance trope is a popular storyline where two characters who initially dislike or even hate each other gradually develop feelings over the course of the story. I think oftentimes we get enemies to lovers, but they're only enemies for the first 20%. And then all of a sudden they love each other and they can't stop loving each other. The trope often involves intense conflict, witty banter, and heated interactions between the characters as they navigate their feelings and overcome the differences. But it's not so much the difference. They have to overcome the history. Despite starting off as adversaries, the characters find themselves drawn to each other, leading to the transformative journey from animosity to love. This trope is commonly found in various forms of media, including literature, film, television, and it appeals to audiences due to its tension-filled dynamic and satisfaction of seeing love triumph over the initial hate, that they moved through the hate. So when you think enemies to lovers, you're going to be thinking more of like the Hatfields versus the McCoys.
Yeah.
Because
that's a
good
example.
This heated rivalry, deep-seated generational hatred between each other. Just because you're coworkers and you don't like each other, you aren't enemies. There's not enough history.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So
I don't like enemies to lovers, so I don't really.
I don't either, because I think I like the banter that we get, the heated arguments. I do like those. Where it falls off for me is it oftentimes feels like it's just a flip of the switch and all of a sudden we don't hate each other anymore.
Yeah, the tension is kind of fun. Like when they build the tension and then all of a sudden, like I just read one where she was like jawing at him and he just grabs her face and kisses her and it was, like that was, I liked that. I can't remember what that was. So
Stacey's asking, would it be families be more forbidden like West Side Story? There would be forbidden elements to it with the family history, but really it's enemies to lovers because they have the history, the warring between all of it. But you know, then we start breaking down the rivalries, the adversaries, and we'll get to that next week. Because that is not what we're talking about on this episode. This episode, we're actually going to talk about some of my favorite hero types.
I think it's a favorite of all of ours.
I do too. I think many of us, it might not be Jenny. I mean, Jenny's like Team Cinnamon Roll, which.
Yeah, but. You know, I think all of us on this episode. Definitely.
All of us on this episode.
For sure.
So in today's episode, we're diving into the allure of the over-the-top protective hero in romance novels. From the knights in shining armor to the modern-day guardians, these heroes stop at nothing to shield their love interest from harm. Join us as we explore the irresistible charm, dynamic relationships, and swoon-worthy moments that make these heroes a beloved staple in the romance genre. So grab your favorite cozy blanket, get ready to swoon as we journey into the world of over-the-top protectors in romance books. Let's dive in. So before we get to like book recs, let's talk about this idea of the over-the-top protector, the hero that will do all that he can for his heroine. And I don't know that all of them have to have toucher and die vibes, but that definitely is going to be kind of a feel for a lot of them.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Nope, because it's going to come up a different time and it will fit better.
So characteristic appeal. Why do we love these characters? Why are these the men that oftentimes become our book boyfriend?
I personally think that a lot of these guys that have these over the top touch her and die vibe is their heroines are strong. Like the heroine doesn't necessarily need him to be that way. He wants to, because that's how much he loves her. And she's not like this wilting flower. I kind of like how the heroines are usually a little bit more, strong-willed, or they're not
Assertive.
meek. Yeah.
They're not damsels in distress. They might be in a
No.
situation that they might need a little rescuing, but oftentimes in rescue romances, we don't find many over-the-top heroes.
No.
So for you, Amanda, what's the appeal of these kind of characters for you?
Heather, actually, like what she said is exactly what I had written down. It's because
Sorry.
it's we use no, it's fine. Because I think it's true. It's that usually in those romances you have a very strong heroine. And so like the over the top scenes, it just falls in line. And then also too, I think it's just like, you want that hero who will do anything to save you or make your life better, or I don't know. That's kind of how I.
The banter, I think, too, with these characters is we get this really intense banter that creates an emotional angst in these books. But there are times that we do get heroes that are grunters. Like the whole book is nothing but him being like, no. They are a little cavemanish.
Which, like, generally the heroines are like us, where they're like, they're not damsels in distress. They have their own, they can do it, but like they don't want, or sometimes they want to, but they don't need to. Does that make sense?
No, I agree with that. And sometimes I want to be like, use your big boy voice, buddy. And I just recently, it's read a book where it was like, she's like, you gotta use your big boy voice if we're gonna talk like this.
Time to be an adult,
Funny.
friend.
Yeah, you can't discredit me. So in these books, there are very dynamic relationships. Like if we're coming in it from like a mafia stance, those relationships are sometimes like arranged marriage, forced proximity type dynamic. And because of the allure of danger with those, we have this protector that needs to create this safeguard for their love interest. Do you think that that forced moment, that moment that's forcing them to be together where he is now in charge of her safety, does that change the dynamic in the relationship? Does it change how they fall in love?
Maybe.
I think it does. It gives you that external conflict that brings them together faster because I think it happens in romantic suspense as well as mafia. Like you have that thing that's, making them be together in a way that maybe they wouldn't be if they just met outside of this conflict.
I think it's usually like sometimes the heroine starts to like notice their feelings or fall in love like at a different time, but it's usually like the hero where like he's sort of doing something or is like over the top protective and he doesn't, if that's never happened for him, and he's like, what am I doing? Like, why do I care so much? And then that's sort of when he realizes, oh, like I think I'm like I have feelings and I don't really know what to do with them. Like, but touch her and I will strangle
Yeah.
you.
Penelope Skye, she writes dark romance and she has her lesser series. And in that one, the heroine comes to him because his enemy, who's also his half brother, she's hiding from him. And in that book, she makes a deal with him in order for his protection. And of course, the deal is she has to stay with him for 6 weeks. Work on some things. But he's also protecting her from this outside threat of the half brother. And with it, because they're in this locked, like she's in his compound, she cannot leave without him. They have to do everything together. They start to find mutual ground and realize that they have things in common and they desire each other. So I do think that we get a little bit more intensity to the development of the relationship. I think it can go from, I hate him to fire hot chemistry in the 10% and it makes sense.
Oh, for sure. And I think mafia, it's like there's that whole like duty where they're like it's their job to protect their wife or whatever, but there usually comes a point in this book where it isn't about duty and it isn't about just because she's mine, because it's like, yes, she's mine, but there's a bigger reason why she's mine. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I agree. So we do get a lot of tension sometimes between the characters when he is his instinct is to shield and protect her, and she's feisty and she's like, I can do it on my own. I think we often see these in romantic suspense or bodyguard romances.
I often like feel that way about like when I think I connect to those heroines, because like I can do my own thing. Like I certainly can like fill my own car up with gas and I can do all those things, but I don't want to. So I like there, but there comes a time where I'm like feisty and I'm like, back off and just let me do it. And my husband's like, well, I don't really need you to fall off a ladder, or, and I'm like, back off. And he's like, fine, whatever. And some like there always comes a point in that in a book where that's where their conflict and the feistiness, and he's like, Jesus, woman, can't you just? And I really love when that happens.
I really like it too. Neville Alton, I think it is Fractured Souls, book six in her Imperfect series, where the heroine has been, she gets rescued from sex work. And he is, she is the d sister of a mafia, underboss. And she, like, has some amnesia, doesn't want to go home, and he rescues her, takes her in, and in the midst of just trying to protect her and keep her safe, you know, they have this relationship and this dynamic, and it's just really interesting because you do get the overprotector mafia, but then you also kind of get that same bodyguard sense, like I'm willing to protect her with my life. Amanda, you read a lot of bodyguard romances or security force romances.
Yeah, probably security force more than straight up bodyguard, but yeah, I do.
Can you think of some that like that dynamic, you know, that causes them
Oh
a little
yeah.
bit of conflict?
So probably, well, one of the ones that there's conflict is I had Strategic Maneuvers, which is by Gemma Westbrook, Janice Whitaker's romantic suspense series. So this is the Alaska Security series, and they're all actually basically in a compound in Alaska, and the security force all works out there, and they have different women that come in and join in various job roles or whatever. They have some that are investigators and then they do different things, but these guys are uber protective of them. They're not supposed to leave the compound. They're not supposed to basically like leave it all, because there's like this background force that is follows throughout the whole book. But the one that I had down was Strategic Maneuvers, and I forget which number it is, but it's Pierce and Mona, and he basically runs the Alaskan Security Force, and Mona is like kind of running the office. And then so they definitely have some tension already there, because they're kind of they're coworkers and they're both kind of running things, and tensions are always high. And he's just kind of like, I need to keep you safe. And she's like, I knew what I'm doing. Like, we're on lockdown here, I'm fine, kind of thing. So
That's just like Mind to Shield, which is Kennedy L. Mitchell, and it literally just released 426. And so they go into a cult, and she is like a PhD, so she has done research on this cult, and she goes in, they go in undercover, and he is like just beside himself because he's so nervous. And she's like literally a genius. And he is this over the top. And she's like, I got this. I'm like a psychiatrist. I'm good. And he's like, no, girl, you're in it. It's like the perfect. Also, that book is, I had to flip my Kindle over, I think, four times and walk away because I was like, okay, I'm so nervous about what's going to happen. Was so good.
Okay, well,
So
that
good.
just got bumped up a little bit on the TBR.
All
It's
right.
good.
Sue brought up closer force proximity plays into this trope a lot
Yeah,
too,
does.
and it
Yeah.
really does. And I oftentimes think that these, with the over-the-top protectors, oftentimes are that borderline of close proximity that's really almost forced proximity.
Yeah.
They are close, but there's not a lot of choices because of the dynamic that causes them to be together.
Yeah, I mean, if they're in danger and they're kind of on lockdown or, in a safe house or something like that, they can't really go anywhere. You're kind of you're not really getting out anywhere.
Or he perceives there's some sort of danger, which there usually is, because, like, let's be real. That's why we read it.
So conflict and growth in these books. So we have the external threat oftentimes with these over-the-top protectors, but then there also tends to be internal struggles. And a lot of times with these books, there aren't third act breakups because it is that external conflict that tends to cause that dark, intense moment of action.
Yes.
Is that part of the reason you love it, Heather?
Probably.
Same.
Probably.
So, what kind of an external threats do we tend to see that cause these over-the-top protectors? Like, immediately, I think stalkers. And
Stalker, yeah.
we can have them in things that are contemporary romance. This is not exclusive to dark. It's not exclusive to suspense. I think that there is contemporary books where we see this. So we have stalkers, exes, because the first
Yeah.
Wilder Brother book by Carrie Ann Ryan, her
I
ex
have
is
that.
causing some drama.
Yeah, you can also have if they're a witness to a crime.
Witness to a
Yeah.
crime. Rock stars, they can get overly protective, because they're shielding them from paparazzi.
True.
Because if you
I didn't
think,
even think about that.
Jay Sommans, the first book in her rock star series, they kind of, he's overprotective. Jasper's overprotective of the heroine because she's the nanny to his daughter, and he's this famous rock star, and he just wants to make sure the paparazzi leaves them alone.
Kat Mazira, her new that the first book in the LA Phantom series, he's a hockey player and she's the owner, but he's protective of her because of the sight of her stepsons who are coming after her.
Okay, so that's, like family conflict can create the tension. So we've got
I also
stalkers,
have, yeah.
witness to crime, paparazzi, famous, because we kind of even saw that a little bit in Hollywood Playboy by Natasha Madison. He was
Yeah.
super protective of her, knowing that some of the other journalists were kind of, well,
Being mean to her.
and the
Yeah.
PA was creating issues.
Yeah. I also think it shows up a lot when you in paranormal romance, when you get fated mates. And a
Okay.
lot of times, like the animal is very protective, and the maybe necessarily the hero doesn't, like his animal is protective and he doesn't get at first why they're so protective. So Danica Dark has a series. It's called her Seven series, and book two is called 6 Months. And Reno is a wolf, and his wolf is very protective of this human, and he doesn't understand why. And he keeps going into wolf form and going to protect her at night. And it
Oh.
takes him a long time to realize that it's like, she's a human and they're not supposed to be together. And so it takes him a while to realize that she's his mate.
What the first book in Juliet Cross,
Yeah,
they
Wolf Gone
actually,
Wild.
and I have to, got Wolf Gone Wild, I have to say this for Lindsay because she's not on this episode, but in that episode, the human form is actually protecting the
Phoebe
heroine.
from
From Mateo, wait, is Mateo the hero or is he the internal wolf?
Mateo and Alpha.
Right. Okay. So Mateo is protecting the heroine from
From
Alpha,
Alpha.
his wolf. Like, I love that book. I love that
Yeah, I
book.
had that one on my list too.
Well,
What
I think
saves
I need to read
us?
that.
You didn't read that yet?
No.
Oh my gosh.
It's
I
so
know.
good.
Kick
It's
me
so
out of the
good.
club.
Really? What Saves Us by Maggie Gates? It's contemporary. He is super over the top protective. Like, do not
True.
t like, I thought he was going to kill those mamas that were being mean to her.
Well, and he's super protective of that baby. He is
Right.
like, it's either her or I that get to hold the baby and nobody else,
Nobody
really.
else, right?
So I
I mean,
can't do
because think
that.
about
I
all
think
the
about that.
mom, like all the mom friends that were showing up at the house and like telling her what to do. He like cleared those bitches out of there quickly.
He
He's like,
did.
we're not playing this game. We're done.
Yeah, I love him so much.
Okay, well, Heather just had a little bit of a moment there.
I know. I'm over here. I'm digging through my Goodreads, like, trying to.
I know, I keep
It was
looking
a
at my
long
shelf.
weekend.
I'm like, huh, that author. Okay, that will work.
I know. I see you keep looking, and I was like, what's she looking at?
I
I
look at
think
my
Mafia
books.
too does that a lot, is where he, like, people are after him, but they're gonna go after her because, like, it's getting him where it hurts. You
Yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and what did we I just well, A.L. Jackson oftentimes has that.
Oh, yeah.
She tends to write all her heroes as overprotective, over-the-top heroes. And oftentimes they are trying to protect the heroine because of a choice they made in their past.
Yeah, the Redemption Hills is all like that, really.
Yeah. In the first book in her Time River series is like that. Also,
Oh,
oh,
yeah.
I think the first. Does she do it every book? Because the first three books are like that. And if we look at the, like, Kiss the Stars, he's not sure if it's his past while she thinks it's her ex.
Yeah, they both had kind of
Yeah.
situations in that book.
So A.L. Jackson, if you like these kind of heroes,
Yeah.
just go read A.L. Jackson. Okay, before we get to our next topic point, I want to remind everyone, if you are looking for an over-the-top protector, you might check out the Men of the Fall series by Melanie Moreland. Dive into a world where power, danger, and seduction collide. In this two-book series, Aldo and Roman, these morally gray men, meet their match and strong heroines who challenge everything they know. And Aldo experiences the allure of a man who thrives in the shadows until a strong and captivated heroine forces him to confront his deepest desires. And in Roman, dive into the complexity of a dangerous man who finds himself drawn to a woman who challenges everything he thought he knew. Can love survive in a world of danger? This is available in ebook on Amazon, read free with Kindle Unlimited, or grab them in paperback and audio wherever you buy books. And I will say, both Aldo and Roman, over the top protectors. Like, particularly Aldo.
And they're Canadian, like
They're Canadian
Canadian
nice
mafia.
mafia.
Yeah. So they're like, they're still Canadian.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, Melanie Moreland, so sweet. Oh my gosh, I loved meeting her. And by the way, if you ever get to see Melanie, she has really great pens, you guys.
She's
I'm a very big pen snob. But Melanie's are awesome.
okay. In Knockout, we're all just gonna go clear Mel. Maybe we should tell Karen to bring
Bring
us
extras.
bring extras
Bring
because we need
extras.
pens.
Yeah.
Stacey brings up, I think single dads tend to be over the top protectors also. And I agree. I agree. And
Yeah.
sometimes there's a conflict because they're overprotective of their children. And so allowing someone new into their life, there tends to be this like, I'm protecting my children, but I really have desire for this person. But I think we see that in some single mom romances too.
I think it translates really well into single mom because they get protective of the mom and her child a lot.
Yes. I think MC, like motorcycle clubs, can also be this way. And if I'm being 100% honest, I love the morally gray ones where they're like not actually afraid to you know, being
So
morally gray.
I know that Heather read it. I'm not sure if you read it, Amanda, but Reluctantly Royal by Aaron Nicole, which is Aaron Nicholas.
Not yet.
The hero, Torrin, he's an over-the-top protector, but he's not an alpha hero. He's a little bit of a squishy cinnamon roll.
Yeah, he protects her emotionally.
Yeah.
Oh,
It's
okay.
not as physical, it's not a physical danger. She's very much afraid of public speaking and putting herself out there. And so he does everything he can to shield her. So it's kind of like that paparazzi feel, too.
Okay, so yeah, you're almost getting like the celebrity situation there because
Yes.
she's royal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also feel like I should probably say that this does happen in MM. Eden Finley has a really great series, an MM series of former military, like Zeus and Atlas. I can't think of the name. Team Mike Bravo. Very good. Perfect example.
Well, if we think about Jiffy Kate's Come Again, she leaves an abusive relationship, ends up in New Orleans, and gets hired at his bar. And once he knows there's a story, like immediately he knows she's running for something, from something. And once he realizes it, he starts to put things in place to keep her safe and protect her. And the thing is that's really contemporary romance. He's just a guy that owns a bar.
Yeah, and like the Fury brothers too. I
Yeah,
mean, yes,
exactly.
like they're all, I mean, book one and the Fury brothers
But
is,
yeah, Dante's book one is Fury.
So one of the ones that I really like, because it's romantic suspense, but it's unusual romantic suspense, and that is Codename Omega by Sawyer Bennett. Because he's not tasked with keeping her safe. They have a chance encounter. He accepts a stolen dog.
That is one of my favorite books ever. Oh my gosh, I just reread it too. So
It's
good.
his that heroine is Abby also, and she's a hot mess. I mean, she's trying to shut down a puppy mill. She's a veterinarian. He is home from a mission with the Jameson Security Force, and she's just a mess. Like, he meets her the first time at the vet clinic. She gives him the stolen dog that he's keeping safe. And then the next day, he runs into her at the pet store
Getting arrested.
getting arrested because she was protesting. And he's like, "What are you doing?"
That book is so amazing. So, and if you haven't read it, now is the time to do this because she has a spin-off series coming of Abby Blackburn's family.
Yeah.
So just, and the audio is also very good.
It is a very good audio. And the new series that's coming takes place in bourbon country with lots of horses, and it's gonna be great. Another author, which Amanda recently just did a deep dive on, that
Oh yeah,
likes
she's on
her
my list.
over-the-top protectors, and that would be who, Amanda?
Aurora Rose Reynolds. And I honestly, although I do not have the book I had was not from her Until series or from her Underground King series. It's actually The Right Wrong Man by
Oh,
her.
that's such a good series.
So, I mean, it's Braxton and Dakota are the hero and the heroine, and they actually meet because she's going out on a blind date and she thinks that it's him that she sees on the street. And she goes up and says, "Oh, are you so and so?" And he basically says, "Yes." And they end up having a one-night stand. And then she ends up actually working for his company. He owns a media company. And he basically is just like, "We're doing this." And she's like, "No, we're not. You know, we're not doing this." And he fits her with like a smartwatch so he can find out where she is like all the time. He hacks into her emails, like he tries to get her moved to a different department. And then you find out later that part of it is to keep her safe because she has kind of a stalker a little bit. And like he is way over the top. He is so over the top, like even more so than like the guys in her like Until series and the Underground Kings. Like this guy is just like, it's crazy.
And I was thinking of Before We Fall,
Oh yeah.
you know, because he's like, well, he broke up with you, then you should live with me. And she's like, I'm going to just stay in my friend's apartment because she's not there right now. And
he's like, no, you're just moving in with me.
Stay in with me. So another one that comes up for me is, and we're talking about the third book in the series, but Melissa Foster, not all of her men are over the top protective, but like for the love of whiskey, like once Cowboy meets Sully, he doesn't let her out of his sight.
No, but he gives her enough room too. Like, right. I don't think he's not so much in her face. He does a little bit of his behind the scenes, I think.
Marie James has a Blackbridge security series, and book number two, Shot in the Dark, it's the IT guy, Ren, and he's super awkward, so he's not like out in the field, but he is so over the top protective. He like literally hacks into cameras to like follow his love interest, and it's really good. And he doesn't just do it for his heroine, he does it for all of their heroines. He's over the top protective of a lot of women.
So we talked about like some of the more common subgenres that we see it in. Obviously, we're going to see it a lot in mafia. You tend to see it a lot in suspense. I think it's prevalent in contemporary. Mm-hmm. Amanda, you said we see a lot in PNR.
Yeah, especially with Faded Mates.
Yeah. Heather, do you think we see a lot of it in alien romances or monster romances?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think the Horde Kings, they have their own way of being like over the top, but I would say they're more like strategic. I don't know if strategic is the word, but they kind of maneuver themselves more is the word I'm maybe thinking. Do you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah. It's they a little block more, her
from experiencing like not traumatic events, but like setbacks. Yeah, they more like pave the way for her to everything to go well.
And y'all are going to laugh, but I do believe the door in Unhinged is an over-the-top protector by Vera Valentine.
I believe you. I haven't read it, though.
We're just going to have to believe you on that one.
I believe you.
I mean, he's a door. He stops people from coming in. How much more protective can you be?
Picture a door. I'm glad that someone's imagination can do that for them. But I
feel
can't.
Like you're door shaming a little bit, Heather.
Door shaming. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, it's okay, Heather. You know,
to each their own. I am really not going to yuck someone's yum. If you're into that, cool.
So it's really interesting. I don't think that every romantic suspense has over the top protective heroes. Because I was looking around and, you know, I was thinking like, Catherine Cowell does not write over-the-top protective heroes.
No, she doesn't.
Like, I couldn't think of one in hers that he's over-the-top. It all, like, fits in line. Because none of them... Yeah. So here's the thing. Do you think if they are law enforcement...
Not always.
That doesn't make them over the top because they're in law enforcement. They would have to break the law to be over the top, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think you have to go beyond wanting just like somebody to be secure conscious, you know, wanting to have a security system or lock your doors, or that's just kind of like something you say to anybody that you care about. But yeah, I think it has to be more than that.
Okay, so
I would agree.
Other authors that you think write phenomenal over the top heroes, I'm going to say it again until all of you people read these books, Rena Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you 100%. Can just stop it over there, Heather.
Hey, it is, I have already said I have book one and I am going to do it. We're going to listen to it on the way down to Little Bell.
Merritt started the Menahaven last week, sends me a message. She's like, why didn't you tell me to start these sooner?
Oh, Merritt, She's been telling us for years, why'd you do that now? She's gonna be on me for out of time.
Like,
I saw she posted it and I was like, what are you doing? Now I'm gonna get more and more crap. And she's like, I'm sorry, I had to do it. They sound so great. I'm like, they do, but
Rena Morgan's Mafia series, which is very light mafia. It's not super violent or dark, but they are burn the world down for their women, over the top protectors. And there's only three book in that series, so that might be a little easier, a little more digestible. And those books are available on Hoopla and Anyplay.
Okay.
So there is that. So I said Rena Morgan. Heather, who's another author that writes really great overprotective, over the top heroes?
I don't, let me think about it. I'm looking through my Kindle and I'm
Okay.
really getting
Who
there.
do you
Hold
got,
on.
Amanda?
Okay, so I have Natasha Madison for the Southern series. So you can like look at my Goodreads and see which ones that I rated high, because all the ones that I rated high in that series are the ones that have the overprotective heroes. But my favorite is Southern Comfort, which is Casey and Olivia's books, a book. And then you see like Casey be overprotective, like with his wife and then his family throughout like all the rest of her books.
All the
So he's
rest.
probably one of my favorite overprotective heroes.
Zoe Blake, who writes a lot of primal kink, all of her heroes. Well, and they're very similar. I mean, they're obviously a little less consensual than Aurora Rose Reynolds' book. So if you like Aurora Rose Reynolds and you don't have a ton of triggers, you could take the step up to Zoe Blake. Her Russian Mob series, her Sweet series, the Cavallari series, all of those men, like instantly, this is my woman. You live here now. We are together. Like within 10% of the book, like they meet and they're together. Which, I'm all about. We're not gonna play this like slow burn dance. But all of them are willing to burn the world. Like the moon is on fire for their women. And I love her books. I cannot suggest her books enough. But if you have triggers, don't read them. Heather.
All right, I've got a series. Jill Ramsauer, she her Byrne brothers, so like book two is like literally a forced marriage. Like in one of the books, like he's holding her in a wedding dress, like passed out going into an airplane.
A meet cute
That's
with a
how we meet
knife.
them. Yeah, a meet cute with a knife. It is so good. And then book three, Ruthless Salvation, is a stalker. So she has a stalker, and it isn't him, even though he is also stalking her. Very good. Such a great series.
Amanda, would you say the hero in Pray Tell is an over-the-top protector by Amanda Richardson?
Chase, yeah, I think he is.
I think so
Yeah.
too, because at first he's just trying to protect her from him and his history.
Yeah. And then he's trying to protect her from everything else.
From everything else. Okay, what else do you got, Amanda?
So I have Susan Stoker on mine. Her heroes are not always over the top, but she does have a few. And one of my favorites is Slate from Finding Ashlyn, and that's in her SEAL Team Hawaii series. So Ashlyn and Slate, they kind of start off friends to benefits situation. And I mean, this one pops like first chapter. It's they're like all in, but then he doesn't like the fact that she kind of goes out and does like Meals on Wheels to the community, and she goes out by herself, and he gets super like overprotective about it. He's like, you don't need to be doing this. It's not safe. And they butt heads like constantly, and that's a really good one. He's totally like overprotective until he realizes, he's like, oh yeah, I have feelings for her. This is not just like friends with benefits situation.
Yeah.
So.
Kylie Kent, also her men, they basically kind of like Zoe Blake, but there's more consent in Kylie Kent books. They claim their woman, like in the first book in the second gen of the Valentino family, he meets her by chance at a coffee shop and he starts stalking her. And within like a week of meeting her at the coffee shop and stalking her, he's like, yeah, you are going to marry me. And she's like, what? He's like, you don't work here anymore. You don't work at this bar anymore. And we're getting married. And she's like, don't think so. But yeah, it's good.
Cal O'Reilly, they have the Syndicate Mafia series. And they will literally burn the world down for their heroines. And their heroines are like, I'm sorry. Nope. I'm going to run this strip club and you're going to back off. And they're like, actually, no. Really great series. It's all interconnected.
You got any more, Amanda?
I had probably my last one is Jessica Prince. So that's my new rabbit hole. So I just started. Rachel got me to start with her new one, The Dead to Rights. It's book one in her Ashland series. So I read that book and immediately started Hope Valley like last week. And I'm on the last book. So I'm 12 books in at this point. And they're all pretty much over the top protective heroes. So yeah.
Rachel is just reading so much. She's like,
oh, I know. I can't keep up. But yeah, I mean, if you like Aurora Rose Reynolds, like this was another one like in that vein for me. So it's been really easy for me to just binge. And she has a lot of books in her backlist. So well, I'm enjoying
nice.
It.
I was gonna say that's nice. Can you think of any sports romances that we have over the top protectors in? I don't think we see them a lot.
Not a lot, but I think, and I haven't read it, but is the Until I Get You by Claire Contreras?
No,
he's not protective. Okay.
He's not protective. He's bent on revenge. Callum by Sawyer Bennett, but it's not really a sports romance. He's the general manager of the Titans.
Yeah,
he's kind of over the top protective.
Pick Six by Maggie Rodden. He's a little over the top.
Okay,
that's a football. He's like, she has her ex is a douchebag. And
yeah,
so he goes a little overprotective there.
My Boyfriend Wild is kind of an over the top protector because Clark, you know, had this bad experience with a reality TV show and he won't let anyone say anything bad about her. You know why? Because he's the best.
We just had to talk about him. I mean, we weren't getting that
just
episode.
Renna and Wild in one book in one episode.
So Baden, I wouldn't say is over the top protective, but he is like he's like an emotionally protective. Like there's that whole scene in the grocery store when he's out in the parking lot and he's like, I have my eyes on you and you're 100% safe. And how he oh my god.
That is so swoony.
And you have Cohen who goes after the mean girls in the bar.
That's true.
That is true. I do
just get out all of our favorites.
We're just going to get all the men out.
We're going to squeeze them all in.
And Dax. I mean, I'm sorry. Dax. I just love him so freaking much.
I get it, sister. I get it. I'm like, those men. Okay. So those are our over-the-top protector hero suggestions. Some people were claiming we were destroying their TBRs. Our answer to that is you're welcome. Glad we could be of service. So that leads us to that time. It's that time, everybody. For Book of the Week. It's Book of the Week time. Heather, what's your Book of the Week?
Meant for Her by Natasha Madison. I got it last week and I've had no time and it is killing me and I'm probably not sleeping tonight. I just love this family. The premise is so good. It's teammate's wife, his best friend. I'm not spoiling it because it happened in a previous book. He dies. And he's like very distraught. Obviously, his widow's distraught. They have two little girls, and Christopher is just reeling, and it's really good so far.
Okay,
love it.
Amanda, what's your Book of the Week?
Okay, so my Book of the Week is Love to Hate You by Jessica Prince. It is part of the Hope Valley series, and I forget which number book because I'm on like 12 at this point. But so So this one is Hayden and Micah. Hayden is a single mom, and her ex cheated on her with her best friend. So she's moved to Hope Valley to get away from everything. She moved in with her great aunt, who happens to be neighbors with Micah. He's in law enforcement in Hope Valley, but they also actually meet before she moves to Hope Valley, and they have like a one night stand. And they don't know each other, and then they run into each other in the grocery store in Hope Valley, and he thinks she's following him. And so they have this big blow up, and then turns out they just kind of like antagonize each other for a good portion of the book, which is great. But then my favorite part is her daughter Ivy, who's like this little motorcycle 4-year-old princess. Like, she's adorable. He calls her monster, and he falls in love with Ivy first, I think. So I love it. It was really good.
Okay. My book of the week is Gareth by Samantha Whiskey. This is the final book in her Billionaire Games series. So we started with Asher. It's been following all the guys. Gareth is our hero. He is the second son of a mafia family, but he's left the mafia and gone legit. His heroine is the daughter of a Irish mafia guy who has kind of bet his way or bought his way into their billionaire poker game. And that's the premise of the series. And they've been kind of dancing around each other for the 2 years that these games have been going on. And she finally comes to him and says, "I need your help. You have to make me undesirable. My father is trying to marry me off to an old mafia guy." And he is an over-the-top protective hero. And Super Sweeney, I've been dying for this book. It read super fast, and I cannot recommend it enough. So, and I hope the way she writes this book, there are two characters that is Gareth's brother, that's the head of the mafia, and Gareth's best friend, Dante. I'm secretly hoping that she's going to write a mafia series.
Samantha Whiskey, if you're listening, the answer is yes, please do it.
Okay. You have our vote. Okay, so Patreon update. Celebrating 2 years in the hive in the month of May is Kimberly and Amanda. Amanda, you've been dealing with us for 2 whole years.
I know, right?
They have sponsored 312 episodes of Buzzing About Romance. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being members of the Patreon. Okay, Mag. Words are hard. Sunday night, need to go to bed. Our May swag packs will be en route by. I'm going to start over. Our May swag
That's
packs
good.
will be en route, filled with enchanting surprises around May 10th. May swag packs are sponsored by author Gracie Cooper and Maude Winters. And
Thank you.
you guys, the amount of swag in this pack is amazing. They're so good. And we also have a couple items from Laura Lynn Page from her first sponsorship, some other stuff that I found.
Nice.
inside each pack, discover an array of love-themed goodies designed to ignite your passions for love stories. And guess what? We ship these worldwide, so everyone can join in on the fun. Reading journals for May should in August should be also hitting mailbox this coming week. We had a delay with printing, and I apologize. These head out to Cold Brew and Queen Bee Tier. But wait, there's more. By becoming a part of our Patreon family, you unlock exclusive perks like access to special episodes and our fabulous Buzzing Book Club, the ultimate romantic adventure. Because in the month of May, we have Marie Johnston, and then in June, we have Amy Award. And I looked before we started, and the winning book for June is Cock Down the Block. So we will be doing another Cock Down the Block read. So stay up
Yes.
to date on all of our events by subscribing to our newsletter and checking out the event calendar at bookcaseandcoffee.com/events. From happy hours to IG lives and book clubs, there's always something exciting happening in our community. As we bid you adieu to another enchanting episode of Buzzing About Romance, we hope our discussion of over-the-top protectors has filled your TBRs. So If you are, let's see here. Oh, keep turning those pages and indulging in the joys of romance. In need of your next over-the-top protector seduction. Jesus Christ, why am I falling apart right here at the end?
Late.
In need of your next over-the-top protector, seduction awaits. Experience passion and suspense in the Men of the Fall series. Aldo and Roman are available now in ebook form with Kindle Unlimited. You can indulge in those steamy stories while paperbacks and audiobook lovers can enjoy them anywhere. Are you ready to explore the allure of the falls? Check out Men of the Falls for a thrilling blend of passion, danger, and seduction. Again, these are available in ebook on Amazon. You can read free with Kindle Unlimited or grab them in paperback and audio wherever you buy books. Stay fabulous, stay flirty, and keep buzzing about romance. Amanda and Heather, thank you so much for joining me for this episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
We are back Wednesday night for our next Sip and Discuss episode, The Taste of Whiskey by Melissa Foster. A Taste of Whiskey by Melissa Foster. So you will find us there Wednesday night live right here on the YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next time, everybody, happy reading.
Find us on Instagram at Buzzing About Romance or on Twitter at Buzzing Romance. If you like the podcast, please leave a review. If you'd like to support us directly, join the Bookcase and Coffee Patreon and receive exclusive content only available to Patreon members. Check out bookcaseandcoffee.com for our on-the-shelf show notes.